Several weeks ago, even as I was preparing this message about planting hope in our mental health, I reached out to several trusted friends and family just to say, I'm feeling weary and down today. Just like my grandmother used to say, I just feel sort of blue today. I just didn't have a lot of motivation. But by reaching out and being heard, validated, and understood by those I trusted, something shifted within me. They didn't try to fix me or give me advice. They just listened and understood. And I was able to take a step and then another and doing small tasks until I was able to function much more productively that day. But you know, there's been other times in my life when I needed a little bit more support than simply reaching out to good friends. And sometimes we have mental health issues where we need medical intervention. God meets us there too. And we as the church can support and bless those who are trained mental health professionals, as well as walk alongside each other in ways Jesus demonstrated through Scripture. So I want to invite you to join me in looking at one of Jesus' teachings in Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me." Then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will say, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." Jesus reached out and healed those who were stigmatized and marginalized, as many with mental health issues are today. We are called and empowered to join Jesus in that work, not in a way that the therapists and doctors are trained to diagnose and treat, but by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through us to be present with all people, including ourselves, in difficult times. We all experience some type of mental health difficulty at some time in our life, whether it is within a relationship with someone we love or within ourselves. So I want us to read this passage again with yourself in mind first, then thinking of others. Think in terms of doing what you can to keep yourself mentally healthy, as well as caring for others, as a way of ministering to Jesus. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. I was shivering and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you stopped to visit. I was in prison and you came to me. I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. Caring for ourselves and others, both physically and mentally, is the invitation of this scripture. Now, this does not mean that you are more important than anyone else, but if I do not care for myself, I might not be even healthy enough to be present to plant hope in this world. Caring for others to the point where we do not care for ourselves can lead to some really unhealthy patterns. So I want to invite us to be aware of our own times of hunger. When have you experienced physical hunger? And when have you felt an emotional hunger for love, acceptance, compassion, and given that to yourself without judgment? Our hunger is a signal to our body of our need. Or have you sought to feed someone else who was hungry? First hoping you would be fed by feeding another so that it was more for you to feel better than to help another? Have you tried to keep yourself hydrated so that you didn't get dehydrated physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally? When you were thirsty in one, any of these areas, did you give yourself something that would make you more thirsty? Think of it when we realize we are thirsty, we get water. Your thirst is a signal to your body of your need. When were you without something that met your needs to be warm, clothed, not living in shame? Did you seek for someone else to take care of you, or did you take care of yourself? Your shivering was a signal to your body of your need. And when were you sick and stopped to rest and be still so that healing would be more possible? Your sickness was a signal to your body of your need. And when maybe have you felt imprisoned by a situation and brought a loving presence to yourself, allowing God to visit you in that way? Imprisonment, whether literally or symbolically, is a signal to your body of a need. And when you do this to the least, ourselves or others, Jesus said we've done it unto Him. Because Jesus is the embodiment of God, our Creator, when we care for all God's creation in ourselves and others, it is as if we're caring for God. When we care for ourselves, we are much healthier, better able to give out of an overflow of our own health. For years, I thought this scripture was all about serving others without taking time to care for my own needs. I was at church every time the doors were opened. I said yes to serve in all kinds of capacities. I was always on the lookout for those who needed something. And I felt so good about myself when I thought I was helping another. I wanted others to be happy. And sometimes I failed to see how important all feelings are to our mental health, like embracing both joy and sadness. I got really burned out on helping everyone because I wasn't allowing myself to be aware of my own feelings and needs, much less tend to those feelings without judging myself. I actually bypassed my more difficult feelings. And when those are passed by, they surface eventually in a way that feels kind of overwhelming. When I was getting my Master of Divinity in Pastoral Care and Counseling, I was advised that if I wanted to be the best of pastoral therapist, I would need to be in therapy for myself. This was the best advice I'd ever received, which is a practice I continue to this day. Mental health professionals are trained and gifted to help diagnose and treat us when we may desire to care for our mental health or have a mental health crisis. This is one of the best ways to care for ourselves, which then ripples into healthy patterns in our relationships. It really is a spiritual practice. Richard Rohr says, "All great spirituality is about what we do with our pain. If we do not transform our pain, we will transmit it to those around us." Let me say that a bit different. If we are not present to our past pain with love and compassion, without judgment, we will continue to transmit that unhealed pain within and around us. this is a practice. It's not something we do once and are done. It's our ongoing spiritual practice. I want to invite us now to prayerfully listen to this song by Spencer LaHoy. The words of her prayer include all the places we find ourselves with our varied feelings and experiences, and that God will hear us. So may we listen and pray with her and be broken open to feel and to share hope in our listening and hearing.
Sibling, dear baby, dear patiently waiting, dear sad and confused, dear stuck and abused, dear end of your rope, dear worn out and broke, dear go it alone, dear running from home, dear righteously angry, forsaken by family, dear jaded and quiet, dear tough and defiant, I pray that I'm heard, and I pray that this works. I pray if a prayer has been used as a sword against you and your heart against you and your word. I pray that this prayer is a plowshare of sorts, that it might break you open, it might help you grow. I pray that your body gets all that it needs, and if you don't want healing, I just pray for peace. I pray that your burden gets lighter each day.
I was captivated by the words of that song because of all the feelings and situations she acknowledges for all of us. She prays that all are heard and that we honor what we are feeling. And in hearing one another, there is healing. This is a prayer inclusive of all people, and a beautiful expression of planting hope in caring for our mental health. So how can we plant hope for the mental health of our world? We are in a mental health crisis. People who seem to have it all together are living with pain so great that they have no hope and choose to end their lives. And this affects us all very deeply. So we wonder, what can we do? How is God calling us to plant hope in addition to taking care of our own mental health. I'd like to share about a time I learned a bit about this from a wise supervisor. I was serving as a student chaplain in a state psychiatric hospital while in seminary. I was assigned to the geriatric unit. I was so moved by all of their lives and learned more lessons than I have time to share today. But there was one lady who was so angry about everything. So I decided to try to spend some time with her and ask her questions about herself so she would know that someone cared about her, all to help her feel better, I thought. As I asked about her life, I was met with, not with delight, but her telling me how angry she was with me. She looked me up and down, and she just had all kinds of words from me, some of which I had never heard. I was so upset about this interaction that I talked to my supervisor about the experience, and he said, "Jody, I want you to try something. Next time you see her sitting alone, ask her permission to sit with her. And if she says yes, then sit and don't say another word." What? I thought, well, how can I help her? He said, "Just try it and see what happens." So I did. I could not believe what happened. She began to talk and share. Her words and sentences made total sense, whereas before she seemed confused and nothing made sense. And when I shared the results with my supervisor, he just smiled, his wise old smile, and he said, "Yes, your questions were too fast and too much for her to process. Once she didn't feel the pressure and wasn't so anxious from your anxious presence of trying to help and fix her, then it made sense." I will never forget this lesson about being a non-anxious presence and just sitting with someone. I think we can all relate to that uncomfortable feeling of being the object of someone who is trying to fix or advise us when we haven't asked for advice. In relation to Jesus' words from Matthew to give food and water, visit the sick and imprisoned, those are more than just checking the box of meeting those needs. They are ways not only to meet physical needs, but also needs of the soul. For example, how can we listen to what someone is not able to say and truly be present? How can we feed someone who is hungry to be heard by asking caring questions and listening without thinking of what we need to say in response? Here's a wonderful graphic that helps me to remember how to be present through empathic listening instead of dismissive listening. Sometimes when I listen to someone and I say, "I'm listening," or I just don't say a word, that's empathic listening. Or, "I'm here," or, "How did that make you feel?" That sounds really difficult or heavy. If I'm dismissive in my listening, then I might say something like, "Oh, you should read this, or watch this, or listen to this," or, "Oh, don't be that upset," or, "Oh, that happened to me one time," and then tell my story. Or, "What if you try this?" Those are all ways that we tend to try to help someone, but it really dismisses what they are saying. Even praying over them and quoting a scripture without fully listening to them. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 24 gives us words that validate our mental health issues as well as offer hope. So it doesn't dismiss, but it also gives hope. And these are the words of Lamentations. "The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to have hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. When we meet self and others with validation of our experience and compassion of God's word and love, then we know thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We often want to bypass uncomfortable feelings and experiences in our lives and in scripture. If we avoid hearing the difficulty, then we can't be heard or validate another's experience and be a community of hope for and with one another. If you want to receive resources about caring for our mental health, I want to invite you to just text the word health from your phone to the number that appears on your screen now. And so we offer our hearts to the Lord and to those we know we can trust. And in doing so, we are found. We are loved. We have life. We can breathe. We are healed. And we are free to be our true selves with whatever we are feeling. So let's sing these words together as prayerful as we know how.